Hey, what up, everybody? It's your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Guys, I gotta tell you, I cannot get enough of the 1975. This band is legit perfect. Not only because they're just fun and the lyrics are memorable and poppy, but because they kind of embody that whole Queen mindset, that they're just being weird and young and experimental with their music. If you've ever listened to a full 1975 album, you'll realize quickly that their music range is vast. And, you know, Queen was kind of that rock, but also rock opera and pop. And they even had some, you know, really slow melodies. And a lot of it was because they allowed everybody in the band to write music and then maybe not sing so much. That was Freddie Mercury. But the 1975 is just, they're on a whole new level, and I really enjoy them. So I guess from an artistic standpoint, you can see that you have to have range. You have to be able to kind of fill more than just one void or genre. Part of that, it used to be able to do it consistently as one. But you see nowadays that people are just distracted too easily by everything. So you see a lot of these artists now, they're moving from one genre to the next as they grow older, as they evolve, we'll call it. But the 1975 seems to do it in one whole album. Their latest album, which I believe is it's like Lessons in Relationships through Social Media or something like that. I forget what it's called, but basically they'll go from like slow jazz to sort of an acoustic set to this poppy, very hard hitting, biting words, tongue in cheek type stuff. And they deal with a whole bunch of topics between love, life, being young, drugs, sex, it's a very interesting mix of things that they have. And yeah, so if you're into music and you're into bands like that, please check out the 1975. I cannot wait for them to come to the States because most of their tours are in Europe. I'm actually in Canada right now, which is one of their more recent stops. So sad to say I missed their recent show, but here I am in Guelph, Canada, which, it's kind of a shitty day, so there's not much to say about Guelph, Canada, other than the fact that it's pretty clean. It's pretty nice. Everything seems to be pretty new. I'm here on a work trip, so there's places I have to go that I don't really want to go, but it is what it is. Hey, I also wanted to mention that recently I noticed Anchor, the app that I use to do these podcasts, just added this really cool feature where I can see where everybody has been listening to my podcast from. And I can't get to it right now, but, or maybe I can. Let me try. So I thought it was pretty interesting that there's, I think, 30 different countries listening to my podcast, and they're listening to it on generally 8 different platforms, iTunes being probably the biggest one, and then after that, Google Podcasts, and then Stitcher and whatnot. So let me find it. So it really made my day to see that there are people all over the country that are listening to this. Let's see supported platform. Okay. So apparently, you cannot see it from the app, which kind of sucks because that's generally how I do a podcast. Right now I'm actually doing it on my tablet. Not doing it on my desktop. That's the nice thing about Anchor. They've been pretty adaptable. And I can do it from my phone. I can do it from this tablet. As long as I got a microphone. I don't have my nice Yeti mic that's at home on my desktop. So it might sound a little bit weird on this episode as compared to my more recent ones. Sorry about that. Anyways, so in the news, I know I wasn't here last Tuesday to give you guys an episode. I apologize for that. It's just, I kind of follow automotive news in general. to see, you know, are there new things that are happening, anything cool happening in the world? And of course, a lot of that relates back to design and what I find to be intriguing design or fresh, hot new designs or just things that I think everybody should be kind of aware of that's happening, like new trends and such. So there hasn't really been much in the past couple of weeks. A lot of the things that I'm going to talk about briefly are spy shots and things that I think are interesting. But I did want to talk about something that I haven't brought up yet, and that's on the product design side of things. I was at work, and I was thinking about how to make jobs easier for my employees. And yes, I do have employees. I don't know why anybody trusted me with other people and their lives, but that in fact is the case. I am somebody's boss, though I don't like using that term. I don't like being somebody's boss. I think that's what your parents should be for you when you're young, like 5. So I am just their, I don't know, their friend that tells them what to do, I guess. So, but anyways, I was trying to figure out ways to make their life easier. And as a designer, I had to get out of kind of engineering mode and analytical mode and step in back into my design shoes and try to come up with something from a creative level to fulfill the needs. And one of those needs was I noticed that there's some ergonomic issues with some of the job duties that they have. And I hate ergonomic issues because one, my mom's a physical therapist and she deals with that all the time. People who have suffered because their job was so repetitive. And ergonomics is one of the biggest things, especially if you're a product designer, though it also heavily influences automotive. If you are a interior designer, you have to think about not only how does the vehicle exist, like what does it look like, but also who's going to use the vehicle and how are they going to use the vehicle? And is this the right placement for things? Is this the right delivery method for this type of car? So on and so forth. One of the things I noticed in particular that really bothered me about my Mitsubishi was I had to reach really far to get to the touchscreen. Now, I know they wanted you to use that control pad that was in the armor, in the center console. But when Google decided to turn off its usability for Android Auto, which I only have Android phones, it rendered that touchpad essentially useless, except for guiding myself through the main menu, which, you know, changing volume, changing track, and selecting different menus. But if I wanted to do things through the navigation, I couldn't because all my navigation and all my other apps were straight through, you know, they were ported through my phone, which is a Samsung Galaxy Note 9, which obviously uses Android. So it kind of bothered me, and it really bothered me that Mitsubishi decided to put the touchscreen so far away, because I would have preferred to use the touchscreen for normal things, and then, you know, to pinch and zoom through the map. All things that you normally would have been able to do with touchpad, but couldn't. So anywho, ergonomics is a huge thing, especially when you're talking about cars. But for my case, I was trying to figure out how to make these individuals' jobs ergonomically better. And I thought about the amount of weight that they have to lift on a regular basis and how much standing they do. And at first I asked them if they wanted me to provide them with rubber floor mats. And actually, the consensus was no, they didn't want rubber floor mats because their feet would kind of get stuck sliding on it, and then it would kind of prevent them from turning the way they should. The rubber floor mats are there so that you have some cushion, but I understood exactly what they were talking about as far as their feet getting stuck, and that could lead to a whole nother problem. So not a problem I really wanted to solve at that time. Because of the fact that they didn't want the rubber mats. So, but what I did think about was them standing on their feet as long as they do, which is essentially 8 hours, that's got to be painful, especially when they're lifting the kind of weight that they are repetitively. So I offered up the idea of prosthetics. And what I mean by that is there's a couple companies out there, including Honda, that have been extremely focused on coming up with essentially prosthetics that aren't really robotic assist, but maybe pneumatic assist or hydro assist. And they basically remove any stress that's on your back or on your knees. And I thought that would be a killer idea. So I did some research, I Googled some things, and I came up with this one company called New Knee, and it's N-O-O-N-E-E. So it kind of sounds like new knee, like you got a new knee. So that would be N-E-W-K-N-E-E for anybody who's trying to follow what I'm saying. But Google them real quick, because New Knee is awesome. Basically, it's these, we'll call them, I believe they're pneumatic. So it's air. It's using air pumps that support the length of your leg and then your butt and your lower back. Well, the way that they describe it is that it essentially feels like you're standing on nothing, and you're able to sit just by getting in the sitting position, but not actually sitting in a chair. You're just using kind of the counterweight of these prosthetic legs. It's really cool. Check it out. But that's one of those things where, God, it's so simple to try to think about, you know, what the problem is. The problem is there's stress on your back, there's stress on your legs, especially if you're standing up and doing these routine mundane jobs all day for like 8 or 9, 10, sometimes even 12 hours. That can lead to a lot of serious risk and pain and suffering to one's body. So something like that was just genius. And of course, the next step is kind of what Honda has been doing, which is providing people with sort of their version of the Segway. So kind of one wheeler chairs you sit on. It's like a unicycle that, you know, it's electronic and it drives itself. All you got to do is kind of lean forward or lean back, and they only last a few hours, but the idea is there. You know, it's to prevent people from getting these back injuries due to the repetition that they go through and standing on their legs all damn day. So I love thinking about this kind of technology, and I'm really curious as to, you know, what you guys come up with on a regular basis. If you're a product designer, what kind of projects are you guys working on? What is making you guys tick? And is there an issue that you've been trying to solve and you just can't figure it out? This might be one of those venues to kind of get it out there. Use sketchbook_audio on Instagram to get your ideas out there, and let's talk about these things. Send me a message. I want to get some of these ideas out there for you guys. I'm not taking any of them. I'm not a product designer. I'm in automotive design, and that's what I want to focus on. But if I can get some ideas out there to help other people, you know, I want to give you guys credit for it. So shoot me a message, whether it's on this app, download the Anchor app, anchor.fm, or send me a message on Instagram, sketchbook_audio, and let's go from there. I'm going to post up some pictures probably tonight or tomorrow of some ideas that I've found product design-wise. I think they're genius. Another one that I really enjoyed yesterday, I'm a big animal lover, and whenever I see dogs in trouble, or even, you know, vets, that is veterans, not veterinarians. Whenever I see veterans or dogs that are missing a limb or legs, arms, it blows my mind how courageous they are and how strong they are to, you know, find ways to live their life now missing a limb. And you have that whole phantom limb, I guess, syndrome. And I've seen that firsthand. No pun intended. That was horrible. But I've seen it up close with my mom. She's a physical therapist that works with a lot of people who have lost limbs, whether it was in a work accident, a car accident, or from war. And a lot of the things that she's gone through in her career, they're very low tech, and they don't look good. They look horrible. They don't look like a real leg, or they do, and they're just wooden, and they don't last long, and they cause sometimes more problems than they were trying to fix. But for when I see things that actually do work and people are really connecting with it, so to speak. It really gets me. So one of these videos I saw was on LinkedIn. It was for a wheelchair for dogs. And the dog, oh, poor thing, it basically had, I think it was a type of palsy or something, but he had no use of his back two legs, his hind legs. So he would drag it. He would just drag himself with his front two legs, and he had big arms, but he would just drag himself across the floor. And to him, it just didn't matter. It was just, it's like he didn't even notice that that was a thing. But then the owner brought home this wheelchair essentially for dogs that somebody had designed and made specifically for this dog. And the dog basically jumped in it on its own. It knew what it was. And, you know, it took the owner some time to get the dog in there. It was a fairly large pit bull. And the dog got in it and he started walking. He was so overjoyed. And it was just, it was heartbreaking. But at the same time, it was one of those moments where you found a little bit of comfort knowing that there are good people out there and that there are smart people out there. There are designers out there who are trying to fix problems. And I love that about product design, because it really should be what product design is. It's good design, it's smart design, and it's especially now, it's got to be, what is the word I'm looking for? Sustainable design. It's got to be design that not only will last, but could possibly also have an alternative. You know, once it's done, once it's reached its life cycle, it can be used for something else, or it can be recycled, or broken down in some way that's not going to harm the environment. And of course, during its use, shouldn't be harming the environment. So those are all things you got to think of. But finding ways to help people who are disabled in some way, that's just really awesome product design. And thinking about that with automotive design, you know, how do we facilitate people with disabilities or people who are missing limbs, or how do we get dogs into cars? I have a dog, he's almost 16 years old, and he has a hard time getting into my parents' Jeep because it sits so high. Luckily, my dad's Jeep Grand Cherokee lowers itself about 6 inches than it normally would. So my dog, you know, has a little bit of an easier time getting in the car, but to really get him in the car safely, we have to pick him up. And the damn thing weighs like 85 pounds. So he's a beastly boy. And my parents are not old, but they're getting older, and it's just hard for them to lift up an 85-pound dog that's kicking and licking you. So I saw another product that was basically a footstep for dogs. So you have a trailer hitch, and then this step kind of pivots out from underneath your car, whether it's a car or a truck or an SUV, and it just pivots back underneath your vehicle when you're done with it, and then swings back out, locks in place with a kind of like a collar pin. You know, those like ones that they're kind of like spring loaded for your for shovels or things that telescope. There's a little spring loaded pin that just slots into a hole. It was kind of like that. I forget what that's called, but anyways, it was a really smart design and it was real simple. And the damn thing's only like $45. So I'm thinking about getting it for my parents because it's just ingenious. It's just a simple step that slides under your car and then comes back out, and it's low enough for my dog to just kind of gently get on his hind legs and put his paws up and jump up on it and safely jump up in the back of his car. And I think really good design doesn't have to be overthought. This new knee, obviously there's a lot of engineering that goes into it, and of course there's a lot of testing that has to go with it because you don't want it to freak out and kill the person that's using it. You want it to be safe for them throughout the course of its lifespan and, you know, never really pose a threat to them. So I don't think design needs to be overly thought. There was another instance. I was at the Pistons and Gears, or whatever it's called, Autorama in Cleveland recently. And basically this guy had taken Hot Wheels cars and he was selling them for $4. And I was like, man, that's really expensive for Hot Wheels cars. Are these things rare? You know, why are they so damn much? Because I buy them at Walmart for $0.99, occasionally $0.89 if they've been there for a while. Well, then I got closer and I realized this guy had put magnets on these Hot Wheels, and he was selling them for $4, and they work. He uses a really strong epoxy. He gets pretty strong magnets, buys them in bulk, takes Hot Wheels that he only spends 89 cents on, or maybe even less, because he probably gets them at little trade shows or garage sales. And the guy is making bank, and I couldn't believe it, but it was such a simple idea, and he made a great point. Doesn't happen. You don't have to overthink it. I know there's a lot of stuff out there that's already been done before, and a lot of times it's just a matter of how do we make it better, but it doesn't have to be overthought, and that's the neat thing about designing something. So let's get to cars real quick. I've only got 9 minutes left on. I just found out that when you're doing a podcast from the website, it only lets you do 30 minutes. So I'm running down at 21 minutes here. But anyways, I'm just going to run through a couple new things that I saw in the news that are pretty interesting and I'm pretty excited about. Number one, the wide body Charger has been spotted, and it looks like we will see that at SpringFest 14, which is in a few weeks, I believe. So I'm really excited about that, because as much as I like the Challenger, I would prefer a Charger because of the practicality of the four doors and the cargo space. So seeing a wide body one really makes me excited. I don't know anything else about it, but apparently if you go to allpar.com, that's allpar.com, there's pictures of it, spy shots of it, but also there is a sort of a diagram of what the car will look like when it's in its complete form and not camouflaged. And it looks pretty cool. It's not a huge departure from what a normal Hellcat Charger looks like right now, but you can definitely see where they've added to it. Of course, it's wider, so the fender flares kick out a lot more, and the back end is super fat, and then the tires are like 305 front and rear, so that's intense. The Jeep Gladiator finally made its production launch yesterday, I believe. So the first consumer-ready model rolled off the line. It was a billet silver Rubicon, and the people of Toledo seem pretty happy. So I think this is going to be a really hot hit. Jeep lovers themselves have been clamoring and dying for a true Jeep truck, and we haven't had one since the 90s. So, and I think that was either the Comanche or the Apache. So That's real big news. And if you've ever been in the Jeep Gladiator at any of the auto shows, you know that it's a pretty badass kit. And it's not from an aftermarket company like AEV or the aftermarket, I think it was called like the Liberty kit or the Freedom kit, Freedom JK kit that Mopar offered. This is straight off of a factory line. And not that those other kits are bad by any means. If you get one of those, you're doing just fine. But having a production one that you can get at the dealership, ready to go, backed by a warranty from FCA, it's pretty sweet. And it's based off of the Wrangler just perfectly. It looks like a Wrangler with a truck bed. And I'm really excited about it because it's a truck that you can get with a 6-speed manual. Oh, the angels are rejoicing right now because there is no other truck in the United States that offers a stick shift. I'm pretty sure they all got rid of them. I think you can get a Tacoma, like this base strip model with a stick shift, but who wants that? The next bit of story that I want to talk about is Porsche finally showed off their coupe version of the Cayenne. Now, I know it's getting a little bit ridiculous. Everybody's bringing out a coupe version of their SUVs. Mercedes has been doing it for a while. Audi jumped in. Now they have the Q8 coupe SUV. And of course, my biggest gripe is stop using the word coupe, because coupe means two doors. And at least I think it does. It's always meant two doors to me. I don't speak French. I should probably ask some of these Canadians around here, because most of them are French. It means two door. But Porsche did a great job of taking what they know about two doors in the 911, the Carrera, the Cayman, and the Boxster, and they brought it to the Cayenne, which is already a very well-known and very well-respected SUV, especially being a performance SUV. So what I see here is this bright orange. It almost reminds me of kind of the Panamera and the Urus, the Lamborghini Urus, without being as ridiculously expensive as that Lamborghini is. However, before I jump the gun on pricing and make it sound like it's affordable, the turbo model is $131,000, and that's like the base for that. The starting price of a normal Cayenne, not the coupe version, is $67,000, and the Cayenne coupe is $76,500. So it's definitely a big chunk of change, and you can get a similar car in the Macan, but I really like it. So hats off to Porsche for coming out with something that's pretty slick looking. And you know it's going to drive well. You know it's going to handle like a sports car. So no need to worry about that. Even though we are being inundated with SUVs, I welcome that one. I would love to see that one on the road. Ram is going to have their TRX shown very soon. I have a good feeling. People are getting spy shots of it. We can already see that it has reservoir shocks and a supercharger attached to it. So look for maybe not the 707 horsepower that the Hellcat has, but look for something that's definitely faster than your traditional Ram Sport or Ram Rebel. There's really nothing else to go off it from a visual standpoint. So can't talk too much about design there. However, I can just tell you I'm really excited to see a wide-bodied Raptor fighter from Ram. Last but not least, Hyundai. I know it's not a company I typically talk about, but Hyundai just showed off their N-Line Tucson. Now, since we're talking about performance SUVs, if you know anything about the N-Line for Hyundai or the N models, you have the Veloster N, you have the i30 N, and you have the Elantra N, or Elantra GT N. Now seeing a Tucson with that, I get really excited because I do like crossovers, and I like small crossovers, which is why I bought my Range Rover Evo, because it's a small crossover, and I don't need anything super big. But this has a very badass look, and I love the fact that – so if you go on autoblog.com, you can check this out. I need to get through this really quick because I only got 2 minutes left. But if you go to autoblog.com and you check out the Tucson N, you can see the interesting daytime running lights that I am talking about. They're like boomerangs, and they follow the form of the lower fascia, and I love it. So I'm going to post some pictures of that up on the Instagram page. Take a look at it. Tell me what you think. Don't get too excited because this is not the performance model. This is just all show and no go. And it's also not shown for America right now. It's just shown for Europe. So I am a little bit mad about that because I do like it. It's a handsome kit, and I think it does need to come to the States, especially since everybody here in the United States loves crossovers right now. The last thing I want to say is April 16th and 17th, well, specifically the 17th, New York Auto Show is here, and I will be at their sketch battle. It's a very private event, but it's going to be held at the Jalopnik headquarters. That's JALOPNIK.com. Please check it out. Go to the Instagram page. I'm going to post up the flyer. I'm so excited to compete, and hopefully you guys will watch. I'm going to try and do a podcast during that time, so tune in for that. Of course, I'm going to have one next week, so tune in for that as well. Anyways, got 30 seconds left here. Be good to one another, especially while I'm away from my home. Take this time to sketch. I'm actually going to start doing that now, and just enjoy the weather because it's getting warm and I don't have to worry about it snowing too much anymore. So yay. Anyways, thanks for always tuning in. Thanks to all those people who have been listening all over the world. Without you guys, this would be nothing. So you guys give me something to look forward to every week, and I really appreciate it. So this is Ryan Sketch signing off from Sketchbook Audio. Peace out.